Hello, welcome. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, I'm so glad you're here. I believe you're here not by accident, but by God's divine direction. This is not a very big website or large ministry when you compare it to others, but I'm not concerned about size. I am only concerned with those seeking the truth. The absolute truth. He has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. He wants all of you and nothing less. So welcome. This is a sermon series. This is part three. As the other two that will be below this one, if you haven't listened to those yet, I encourage you to listen to those. How a sermon series operates, usually the first sermon builds off the second sermon, right? And the second's off the third. So it's very important, if you just listen to this one and you don't listen to the other ones, you may be missing the big picture of the message that God laid on my heart to preach on, to teach on. It's salvation. It's a salvation message, right? And the goal and purpose of this sermon series, to ask these kind of questions. And I pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will get your answers to these questions. First one is, am I saved? I'm not questioning, I'm just questioning you if you are. But I want you to reflect, are you? Another one that kind of goes along with this one is, what does it mean to be saved? And the last, how can I communicate this message to others? These three questions. Remember, stroll down, you'll see sermon one, you'll see sermon two, and this three is, so they're building up. And I believe if you listen to this one, you listen to the first one and second one, you will start formulating a answer or answers to these questions. You will get your answer, I truly believe. With the help of the Holy Spirit moving through me, speaking what He needs me to speak, this foundation that is so important, that I believe is tremendously fractured, especially here in America. My heart really is saddened to look at America, to look at her churches, and what is this compromise that's going on? The foundation is cracked, and I want you to tell you, foundation is important. I believe those professing to know Jesus Christ in America, they truly don't know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know who God is. They don't know what it truly means to be saved. Thus, their foundation is not built on a rock, it's built on a sand. And this may ruffle your feathers, and so be it. But when you look across today's Christianity, the false Christianity, when you stop allowing Satan to cover your eyes, maybe he has your eyes covered right now. You lean on the Holy Spirit and God's Word as a guiding light. Your eyes will truly see the light, the falsehood, the deception. I was listening to a podcast today and it's no stranger for me to call names out, and And I did it in the first, and you know, and Denzel Washington, and this podcast is dealing with Denzel Washington. Most of you guys will know he professes to be a Christian, and in his podcast, he was professing how he will let spirits take over him while he's acting. I don't encourage you to watch any of his movies, but you watch his latest movie, Equalizer 3. It's just filled with so much violence. You see, when an actor gets a script, they have to read through the script, right? So they're reading all the stuff they're going to do, all the violence, all the cussing, maybe sex scenes, right? And they're reading through this. So it's a conscious decision to step into that scene. When it's like a double whammy or maybe a triple whammy sin. Because when I'm not perfect, when I sin, it's not pre-script. Meaning if I get angry at somebody, I'm not waking up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to be angry at so-and-so. I'm going to lose my temper at so-and-so. Or I'm going to look at a woman and I am going to lust over her body. I am praying to God to give me the strength not to do those things. I'm not reading a script and saying, hey, I like this script. Hey, now I'm going to act in this script. And I'm going to perform this violence. But this is what goes as Christianity today. And it really breaks my heart. And when a preacher like me starts calling out names, trying to rattle and wake those that who will listen, that man will be immediately attacked. Why? Because people want to live any way they want. They could care less about living a holy life, a life that is sanctified, set apart from the world, a life of daily sacrificing, picking up our cross, right? Daily following Jesus Christ. The world don't define this that I'm speaking of as Christianity, their Christianity, their false version of it. They're looking at people like Taylor Swift, Denzel Washington. There's another guy that plays. He has a Christian movie coming out, they claim it's a Christian movie. I haven't watched it. It's called Ordinary Angels. Seems like it has a good motivating, heartfelt theme to it. But this man in there, he's starred in all kind of violent movies, right? I don't even want to talk about some of the movies, but this guy also professes to be a Christian. It's just the perversion of what is going on with those professing to know Christ, but they truly don't know Christ. I would pose to those people if I ever could speak to them face to face with Jesus Christ. Watch that movie with you. Where in God's word does he ever approve of what you're doing? He doesn't approve of my sin. He doesn't approve of their sin. He calls us what? To repentance. Turning away. Trying to walk in the light. To live that sanctified life. And this concept is being blown in the wind, right? It's getting buried in us that preach it and teach it. We are considered a stink. And honestly, in the end, they will do whatever they can to extinguish us. But guess what? They will not extinguish the Holy Spirit. Because one day, after God keeps sending his men and his women warning and warning and warning, he's coming back. This time his wrath will be poured out on this world. and those that mocked us, that ridiculed us, that spoke all manner of evil, they will have to answer to that. They will have to answer for their reckless abandonment of the truth, to be willingly to believe a lie, to listen to all these preachers, pastors, loose, not really pastors, but they call them pastors, like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, Beth Moore, John Hagee. List goes on and on, guys. They grow more emerging. I probably could list you probably 50. And it, the list just keeps on growing and growing because why? We're in that age. Or we're in that period. I won't say age. That could be a little tricky word there. But we're getting closer every day to the coming of Jesus Christ. So prepare yourself. And of course, all you guys have been listening for a while, you know what I'm saying. Thanks for your support when I say, support, I mean your prayers and sharing this on social media or wherever you can. And we're going to continue digging into this sermon series and dealing with salvation. And I really want to talk, I won't mention these questions again because when I didn't mention these in the first sermon in this series because it's just Holy Spirit, He gave me these questions and I want to present them because somebody needs to hear it. So is, and I encourage you to write them down, think about them, know that first question, am I saved? And what does it mean to be saved? Once you get those two questions, then you need to be like, how can I communicate this with others? Right? Reaching others with the gospel. And our base sermon, our series scripture is John 3:16-21. That's John 3:16-21. We'll read that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And he that believe on Him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be proved. But he that do truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. They are wroth in God. They are from God. It points to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this sermon, God, I pray as we go, just guide me, direct me, give me the words that you need me to say to right now, to those that are going to listen in the future. God, Lord, I pray, and I know it will reach those that need to hear this message. My heart desire is that you get the glory, you get the honor. If one person hears this and their life is changed, I don't want no thank you, for I'm just mere man. You get the glory, you get the honor. God, Lord, I pray over this world. I pray as time gets worse, it gets darker, that we true Christians stand on the truth of the gospel. We stand unshaken, unafraid. We will not let the spirit of fear tear away at us. Why? Because if we're operating in the Holy Spirit, you're moving as God directs us. We're standing firm. We're not ashamed. We will operate in love, power, and a sound mind because the Holy Spirit will empower us to speak the truth, even when it's hard. To those that we meet on the street, to those that are in her family, to our friends, to those that you place in our path, God. Give us the strength to witness, to reach them for the joy of our salvation, the root of our life. Oh, how our roots should be deep in the ground. So when the things come in this world, we will not be shaken, because our strength does not come from us. It comes from the Lord. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Forgive me, my throat. My sinuses are draining. They've been draining. So my voice might come in and out on you guys. It'd be alright though. But in this part 3, I really want to center on this word, believe. It is truly the heart to these questions that was mentioned. Am I saved? What does it mean to be saved? How do I communicate this with others? Center on this word, one, believe. We all believe in something, right? We may believe in ourselves when it comes to a job, a career that we have dedicated quite a bit of our life to. If you're a carpenter, you've been doing the trade for, say, 5, 10, 15 years, you can say, and I hope you can say, I believe in myself when I come across a carpenter issue or a job. You have to rip a floor up and lay a subfloor. You should be very confident after 10 years. You should, at that point, you should believe that you can take care of that. Same with a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor. You know, if a doctor's been there for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you would believe that doctor knows what he's doing. Now, I pray these are positive career. I know something like if you're a stripper or a drug dealer, you don't want to be successful in that. But the vast majority can believe in ourselves with something right. We can even say we can even believe in, we can even say believing is a way of defining us, right? What I'm getting at here is the importance of believing and how can we define ourselves, you and me, right? In verse 16 through 18 here in John 3, particular verses 16 and 18, take note of the word believe. And I'm just going to read these and just listen to it. And pick that word in the King James, it's believe, but it's believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, because he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe here is mentioned 4 times in this passage, particularly in verse 16 and 18. 4 times. I counted 4 times. Make sure it's 4 times. Yeah. Now, I am not a Greek scholar. I'm not a Bible scholar. I read a lot. Majority of the New Testament was written in Greek. So that when we look at the Greek of believe, and I'll probably mispronounce this, it's pistis, or P-I-S-T-E-U-O, which comes from the word belief or pisces, and I'll probably mispronounce that one too, is P-I-S-I-T-I-S. and holds or connects to believe with a deep trust and confidence in something. And of course, what is that deep in confidence that we're placing in? In God's only begotten Son. God's Son who is Jesus Christ. So we believe in Jesus Christ. Another way of putting this, we're having faith in Jesus Christ. Now the Nelson Bible Dictionary defines faith as a belief in our confidence. Our confident attitude toward God. Involving commitment to His will for one's life. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Faith as a belief in our confident attitude toward God involving commitment to His will for one's life. Nelson also says belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. To believe, to have faith, they go together. A lot of times we use them interchangeably, although the two words are different. Someone may ask you, do you believe? Do you believe tomorrow will be a better day? One can say yes or no. But that belief will be rooted in what? In the faith on what that day will be, right? Same with your belief in God. The capital G, the creator of the world, the whole world. If we believe that He is, that God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, so we will not perish but have everlasting life, we are having faith in that truth. That is true. We not only believe in that truth, we have faith in that truth. His word, right? There's a depth right here to be rooted in God's word. If you struggle to read your Bible, this can be an issue. Especially when you can do other things so easily. Maybe you enjoy I enjoy a good movie. I don't let television dominate my life like I used to before I came to Christ. It would be nothing for me to watch two movies a night. I don't do that no more. Instead, I come and read my Bible and study God's Word. But I enjoy a movie. I enjoy a good TV series, although if I try to start a TV series, it takes me a long time to go through it because I don't watch much. I may watch an episode here and there. So if one season has 30 episodes, it could take me a few months to watch it because I'll sit and relax and watch a little bit here and there, but I don't let it consume my life like I used to. But if you are that kind of person and you in television entertainment, very popular, you can sit and you can binge watch a whole season in a few days, or and say if it's 30 episodes and you can watch those in a few days, but then you're struggling reading your Bible, there's a problematic issue there. If you're able to watch movies upon movies, you're watching a movie a night, that's 2 hour long movie, and then you're picking up a suckler book, whatever, or maybe you're doing something else that's not reading your Bible, and you're doing that with ease. But when it comes to the Bible, you're like, hey, I just can't really get into that. I want to tell you, Satan is all over you. And we have to break that. We have to break that. You say, how do I break that? Prayer. Well, I don't feel like praying. Pray anyway. Pray till it hurts. Well, I don't want to pray for, I can't pray for, you know, I get 5 minutes. That's just too much. And I know people struggle with prayer. And I know people struggle reading their Bibles. And you may be one of those people that do that. And you may think nobody is seeing that. But I promise you, God sees you. He knows. We But it's, if you're not deeply rooted, and how we become deeply rooted is the studying God's word and prayer. See, I'm not one of those people that struggles with reading my Bible. I can't get enough of it. Yeah, and I do struggle with prayer. You know, I pray at least, you know, a few hours a day. I wish I could pray, and I want to pray more, and I'm working on that. I pray off and on through the day too, so it may be more than 2 hours, but I don't really clock it. It's more than 5 minutes, though. I promise you that. I definitely can work on my prayer life. Yeah, I know that, and God's working with me. Because prayer is powerful. Studying God's word is powerful. But I can't see somebody just praying 5 minutes a day and being done with it and going about the rest of their day. I don't get that. So the devil comes, he's creating these barriers. And what you have to do is you got to drop those barriers. You're watching TV that much, stop it. There's Bible apps left and right. If you can't read it, listen to it. If you listen for 10 minutes, with your Bible open, listen to the Bible app. You need to take a 5-minute break, go do something, come back, listen another 10 minutes. Write down a passage. Memorize that passage. Memorize the passages that we're going through in this series. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Start with verse 16. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can memorize that one. You can ponder that. For God and what we're doing, him, we're breaking it down. The first sermon series we looked at God, capital G, lowercase g, plural gods. For God so love, we looked at love, what is love, how this world defines love, how we should define love through scripture. And that is studying God's word, breaking it down. What's the Greek, you know, and how is love used throughout the Bible? That is studying God's word, memorizing that word. This creates deep roots. And see, when we start creating these deep roots in God's word, the Holy Spirit just and pours through us. And you will find out. You will want to read your Bible more. And you'll want to pray more. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is purifying you. But if you're not in that discipline of doing that, it's going to be rough starting out. And don't think if the devil already has the grip on you that he's not going to try to tighten it up. But God is more powerful than Satan. Light is more powerful than darkness. And the fourth sermon, that's where we're going to look at light and darkness. But there's power in memorizing scripture and reading and studying God's word and hours of prayer daily. We should want to know more about Jesus and less about ourselves, because I know who I am, and I deserve the pit of hell, and I deserve torment and for the rest of my life. I am not a good person, but God is, right? The good you see in me is because of God, not because of me. I am a new man, and I desire to be consumed by the Holy Spirit every day. First thing first, God's first. Everything secondary, third, fourth, fifth. God takes priority. But we're not hearing about this in the majority of the pulpits in America, right? To preach like this. Because the false gospel that is being preached is about the gospel itself. How we are number one, and God can fit, and wherever God fits in our schedule, we'll make it work. I'll tell you, this type of preaching, the gospel itself, God is second. And you cling to this. You like this. That first question, am I saved? No, you're not. Because the gospel is not about you. The gospel is not about me. The gospel is about Jesus Christ and what he done for you, me, and us. When we look at the cross, right? We recognize that it should have been us. It should have been me. It should have been you. Reality, we deserve that physical pain, that anguish, that suffering on the cross. We are guilty. He was not. But we are. I am guilty. I deserve to be beaten. I deserve to be scourged. I deserve to be ridiculed and hang on a tree because I am not a good person. But I am guilty. I deserve to die on a cross as a criminal as I am. For you may think Jonathan Ritter lost his mind. And I'll say, yes, I've lost my mind for Jesus Christ, but I want you to understand, I don't deserve God's grace and mercy. But sad truth, you will not hear preachers out there. There are already lukewarm preachers, evangelists, pastors, if you want to call them. They're lukewarm revivals that can't revive themselves throughout the week to reach out for somebody with the gospel. Their foundation is broken. They have allowed Satan to creep into their life, right into their churches, and plant demonic people in their crowd for their church services. And then, oh, we're going to have a revival. You're not reviving nothing for your life in that you're a Sunday morning person. And your life does not match. Doesn't match. Rest of the week. You're a hypocrite. If this isn't convicting, the Holy Spirit's not convicting you right now. That first question, am I a Christian? No, you're not. For those are truly His, we want our life to reflect His glory through our life. We want our life to center on God's Word and not a man's Word. I don't care how much you esteem that man. And I've seen this in my life where people will take a man's word and they will elevate it above God's word. Listen to Matthew 7, 21 through 29. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. Some translation says demons. I'm reading different translations, so forgive me. They blend together. I try to stick with the King James, and then some of the NIV and the NLT blends in there, and the NSB blends in there. Just different translations. Just to try and get the heart of the passage, and then of course looking at the Greek on certain words. Is it? And in that name done many wonderful works. And then while professing them, I never knew you. Depart me, you worker of iniquity. Lawlessness, basically. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and do them, I like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon this house. And it fell what? It fell not. For it was what? Founded on a rock. It was founded on solid foundation. And he contrasts this with this foolish. He says, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and do them not shall be likened unto this foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. It fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at this doctrine. his teaching. For he taught them as having authority, not as the scribes. Jesus Christ, the best preacher there ever was. The greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus looks at those around him. He knew the hearts of the crowd. He knew some were there for the fame, for the money, for the pride, for the envy. He seen their hearts, and Jesus Christ hit them with the truth, and his truth cuts like a surgical knife in the operational sense, cutting into somebody. He said, you can profit as much as you want. You can cast out devils as much as you want. You can do all these wonderful works in my name. You can pack out a crowd on Sunday. You can speak so elegant that people just love hearing you. You can write these great books. Wonderful works in my name, right? But what does he tell them? When you die, he will look at that person who professed something they were pretending. And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. That's lawlessness. I mean, they knew what they were doing and they did it anyway. There's a lot of that going on. This is tense, right? And then he goes into this wise man. Of course, the Greek here, when you see that word man, especially in the KJV, that translation can include woman, a woman too. Like it does here. So you can say, sorry about that, my phone rang. It was my mom. I had to get that. I record these on my phone and then I upload them to this website. Very simple process, nothing fancy. Trying to figure where I left off at here. But when you see the word man, it's like anything, you got to look at the Greek, right? So you look at the Greek. Sometimes it means that masculine man, and sometimes it's neutral, meaning it can be man or woman. So in this case, the wise man or wise woman, you can say a wise person will heed and will seek God's word. That person will dwell in scripture because he or she is living in the presence of God in that living water that flows from our veins. This man or woman is on that rock, the rock of Jesus Christ, and they are rooted in deep in scripture, and they seek to walk in the Spirit. Now, if you're like this wise person, you're seeking God. You're saying, hey, God, I am here. Here I am. Whatever you have for me, I have get you. You take it. This life is not my life. It's yours. If my purpose, my dreams don't match up with yours, change them, Lord. I want you to pour into my life and as much as possible. Lord, I don't want you to fit him. I am not seeking a genie in a bottle to rub and grant my three wishes. I'm yours to the very end. I want my life to be poured out as a sacrifice. To the very end. Not my will. Yours. Every day. Guide me. Direct me. Sanctify my life. Help me hide your word in my heart so I don't sin. Lord, I want to wake up in the morning and I want to go and and be that light. And Lord, when I do fall short, let the conviction of the Holy Spirit rip my heart out until I'm on the ground crying for mercy and grace and forgiveness and repentance. What we're seeing today is not that. We're seeing a gospel where it's all about me, me, me. But if you're that kind of person, you want a gospel about me, 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 I, you are not saved. You are, if you die tonight, you will burn in hell. But I'm telling you, don't have to. The sound of my voice through God's word tells you don't have to. If you don't say, I want a life that matches up with Jesus Christ, I don't care about the dreams, my purpose, my drive, my will. I want it all to line up with Jesus Christ. His will be done. You're saved. Because when you do that, you recognize the cross. You recognize what Jesus Christ done for this world. When you start doing that, you're building your house on the rock. Help of the Holy Spirit. That rock is Jesus Christ. And not on the sand. And when you build that foundation, when the things of this life comes and rattles you, and this life can get rough, and this life can rattle you and shake you, and then you'll be like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. But if you look at it like, this is not about me. Yes, I'm going through some rough stuff right now, but this is not about me. This is about God moving in me to make me more like Him. Yes, the pain is what it is, and yes, we will have suffering, but we take that suffering, we take that pain, and it hurts, but we carry on, we press on. But we don't do this by ourselves. We do this with the Holy Spirit pouring through us and guiding us and directing us. Yes, we can cause pain on ourselves in life too. We can be self-afflicting wounds on ourselves if we don't watch it. But we're not doing that, just life in general. Life can be rough. And being a Christian, being a disciple for Jesus Christ, doesn't immune us from the suffering, the pain of this life. This is this false gospel where these evangelists will try to tell that new convert that everything's going to be okay. And when they say okay, nothing bad's going to happen. They won't expound on that. You will still have trials. You will still have tribulations in this life. But be of good cheer, right? Jesus tells us. He overcame it. But you're hearing the opposite, right? A lot of people have their foundation built on this sand. When we read Matthew right here, he said, great is the fall, the foolish man. Matthew 7, the foolish man, great was the fall. I mean, it was heard, it was echoed into eternity. We need a true revival, getting back to God's word. I want to tell you, if what I'm saying here don't line up with God's word, call me out. Rebuke me if you must, but never hold back. I take my calling seriously. I know I can misspeak, and I'm human. And I want somebody to correct me with God's word. You don't have to be gentle. If I'm stepping out of line, correct me. But let me warn, if you're trying to correct me because I'm stepping on your toes, your brand of sin, and you don't like what God has laid on my heart to preach and to teach, and I'm preaching, while I'm preaching is lining up with Scripture, then you will get rebuked. In love. But I will correct you with God's word. And you should be able to take that, right? Problem is, not many want to take this correction. And I will tell you, I will take correction. I'd rather somebody correct me with God's word than God beating me with the rod, the scourging rod, when I'm out of line and I can't get out of line. Not as much as I used to. But these preachers, these pastors, these whatever you want to call them, pastors or evangelists, they preaching for years and they're leading many people down the wrong path. People are allowing them to lead them down the wrong path. And when God placed someone in their life to correct them, guess what happens? They secretly attack that man of God by doing things that's not proper for someone who's preaching God's word. I know there's preachers out there that speak ill of me, and I pray that God has mercy on their souls for this. Because they're not hurting me. I will keep preaching. I will keep proclaiming the gospel to the very end. But God sees, and he will handle them appropriately. They're filled with pride. Pride comes fall. Pray that they come to their senses one day. I love them. Do not hold any anger to them, but only love. But God's word should be the foundation. We should be like, okay, you said that, so show me in God's word where it applies. That preacher, evangelist, Bible teacher cannot. Well, Houston, we have a problem. A man of God, a woman of God should be able to bring an answer to a person questioning. Bringing a question up that they need answer that's biblically related. Especially about salvation. We should be able to expound the salvation message. You can start in John 3:16, but you don't have to stop there. You continue 17 through 21. In the first sermon, we look at the word God. We looked at the lowercase g, the capital G in God, the plural form of gods. So we can understand what God we are serving, right? In that second sermon, we look at love and what that means. And understand how the world defines love and how the God, capital G, defines love. This world has a different love than what is biblically defined. You take all that, you combine that with the word believe today, which points to faith, right? Do you have this faith in God of the Bible? The God of Genesis, who's created the world in 6 days. The God who reached into Noah's life and told him to build this ark, this large boat. The God who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. The God who strengthened David to slay the giant. The God who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. The God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den. This God is the same God that sent his son, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, to this world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world, one who walked this earth as man, as God, right up to the painful anguish of the scourging, the beating, the ridicule of the cross, the blood that was poured out for you and me, the Lamb of God who took that physical death so you and I could have that spiritual life. The cross, Christ's bridge from the old self to the new self. When we truly believe, we are what? We are changed. We are regenerated. Regeneration. How do we become saved? We have to be changed. There is this acknowledgement of who we are to a holy God. We look at the cross. the sacrifice that was given to this world. And we recognize we do not deserve that grace and that mercy. That grace and mercy is wrapped in His love. We deserve hell. We deserve the grave. We deserve the deepest pit, be thrown in and forgotten about. For we are sinners. And Jesus Christ sinned not. He was perfect in every way. But we need a Savior. And when we look at the cross, we look at the grace, the mercy, the love, and we recognize who we are to a holy God. We are sinful. We recognize we deserve wrath. We recognize we have violated the law, the Ten Commandments. We are guilty. And without the blood of Jesus Christ, without the sacrifice, without the atonement, we will all deserve hell, or we will all go to hell. But God tells us that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe, that is, those that believe in Him, shall not perish, right? For God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. This perishes death, this spiritual death, it tells us that we now, through the cross, God has created this bridge with His Son, that we can have this spiritual life. We don't have to go through the multiple sacrifices they did in the Old Testament. We can come at right now to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I am sinful. I deserve hell. I deserve Your wrath. But I know You sent Your Son, and I'm coming to You. Oh, Lord, change me. And when we look at the cross, we say, there's that blood, and we say, Lord, here I am, Your sin, my sin, God, I give it to You. Lord, my sin, I am shame. I am guilty. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ covers it, washes white as snow. We recognize the cross. We recognize the resurrection, right? That tells us that this life, this physical life that we're living, will be over one day. And we will go to heaven or hell. But if we are truly His, we truly believe, and we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, and we are now, we do not want that old life. We are striving now to walk in the light and to continue in abiding in Christ. We will receive everlasting life, heaven. See, that old man, that old self is crucified, and the new emerges. Not mean we're not going to have struggles. This is the sanctification part of it. This is the painful of us dying daily, right? Love, Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians 5, 14-21. For the love of Christ constrain us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then all were all dead. And he that die for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, rose again. Wherefore henceforth know no man after the flesh. Actually, I think I wrote that wrong. Let me flip that scripture. I normally try to type these out, and sometimes I'm really tired. And Second Corinthians 5:14, because it just didn't sound right. 2 Corinthians 14. Yeah. For the love of God constrain us, because we thus judge. I did have that right. That if one died for all, then we're all died. I guess the KJV just reads awkward sometimes. Well, a lot of times. Now he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if, and here's the scripture I encourage you to outline or write it down. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by the God Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto him, not imputing their transgressions upon them, and committing to us the world of reconciliation. And now, when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ, instead be ye reconciled to God, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in him. It's a beautiful scripture. It's pointing to the Jesus took the sin of the world on him. John the Baptist looks up and he sees Jesus and he said, here's the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. The ultimate Lamb. See, when we come to the cross, we come to the resurrection, there is this fullness to recognize we don't want that old life anymore. We are new in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into our life. He changes us. Regeneration. Galatians 6:15 through 18 says, for in Christ neither circumcised avail anything nor uncircumcised, but a new creature. As many as walk according to the rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's the last part of Galatians. Paul is finishing this letter out to the Galatians here in Galatians 6:15 through 18, and he said, I bear in my body the marks. He's pointing to the suffering and the pain. You have to recognize you're coming to Jesus Christ in this life. You will have more pain and more suffering. Oh, that don't preach very well in those evangelistic conference. When I've never been in a conference, that evangelist conference and a youth conference, where they would say that, because they know they wouldn't get many converts. It's all about numbers in those big conventions, those conference, these revivals. Is about numbers and about heart changes. Why? Because we're going to have more pain and suffering. Why? Because this is not our home. We need to get that. This is not our home. We are not to be comfortable in this world. We are supposed to be uncomfortable. Why? Because this is not our home. We are ambassadors. We are representing Jesus Christ. a world that is hostile to the truth. And there will be pain and suffering as time increases. And now this concept is novel to America. If somebody's over there in China and they come across this and they listen, they're under persecution. They truly are being persecuted for their faith. They are truly dying for their faith. They're hiding in underground trying to, where they can try to have a church service. They can't even get Bibles because the government bans the Bible. So if they're caught with a Bible, they are in prison or killed. That's persecution. Could that happen to America? I believe it could. We'll see how many stands on God, stand on His Word when that happens. I can already tell you, vast majority will not. And they're like, oh, that won't happen. Watch and see. See what happens. I don't profess to be a prophet. I don't profess to be other than I watch. I read a lot. And I look and I seek God's direction. And I see things that just it blows my mind. All right. The more we're pulling away from God, God will pull away from us. But when you come to Christ, you need to recognize, you need to count the cost. You need to recognize there is a lot of pain and there will be a lot of suffering for it's all said and done. All these YouTubers out there making their money, these motivated speakers in these conferences left and right, you see them. People like Tim Tebow and others. Uh-oh. Yeah, I went there. And the list goes on. They're motivated speaking. They go home to their big homes and their jacuzzis. They ain't suffering for nothing. See what happens when all that's removed. I mean, they're thrown in prison. See what happens. And there are some reputable people on YouTube. I share their stuff all the time. I believe there are good ministries. And if you follow me on Facebook, you'll see who I share. And they're very reputable. They're solid in God's Word. But there's a lot out there that's just I come across and listen to. It's just they have this But this progressive Christianity is a term that actually I think the progressive Christians coined for themselves. And this is a New Age Christianity term. And that's what you're seeing, Taylor Swift, Denzel Washington. They're progressive. You will not hear them talk about pain and suffering for the name of Christ, because what are they suffering? They ain't suffering nothing. They're not bearing the marks. As Paul said, I'm bearing my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We should live this crucified life daily. This, here I am, God, in the morning. Give me strength to endure. Give me strength to press on. But you won't hear that. In that popularity Christianity, right? That progressive Christianity, right? Whatever new name it will go, this false Christianity. And yeah, I mentioned Taylor Swift, Daniel Washington. You can look at Donald Trump. Uh-oh, yes, I said Donald Trump. People need to get away from Donald Trump worship. Only God can save America. Chris Pratt, Mark Wahlberg. Man, the list goes on and on. Yeah, I hit on Donald Trump. I remember listening to when he was running the last time he won. We were watching a clip where he said he don't need to repent or ask for forgiveness. I guess he's a better man than I am. And then you got people like Franklin Graham supporting him, not calling him out on his sin. They will not, because they're compromised. Now, Trump is a good businessman. Man is smart, not like the other guy we have in there. And I vote for him last time. I'll vote for him again because he's about the only person running that's worth voting for. And when it comes to a good businessman, smart, economically, can help America out financially through his policies. But I will not call him a brother in Christ. Well, I've seen from the past, he's not. That might make people mad. So be it. We weigh the scripture and everything, not our personal opinion, our feelings. Our feelings do not trump scripture. We need to walk more in the spirit, less in the flesh, right? Galatians 5. And we should seek to live this crucified life. If you don't want to live a crucified life, you don't want to walk in the Spirit, you don't want Scripture to govern your life, you don't want the Holy Spirit in your life, you're not saved. You want all this, you want to call yourself, you want to take this new version of Christianity because it fits in your lifestyle. You can say, oh, I want a Jesus that sets me for who I am. I don't need to ask forgiveness. I don't need to repent of anything. I don't have to worry about my sin because Jesus Christ is okay with my homosexuality. He's okay with my adultery. He's okay with my fornication. He's okay with my blaspheming. He's okay for me lying. He's okay for me lusting. He's okay. Oh, Jesus Christ loves me more than he wants me to have my best life now. He don't worry about my sin lifestyle. You're just being judgmental. You don't know who God is. And he won't send me to hell because everyone's going to heaven. Don't think that ain't at the heart of the American gospel. Oh, how Satan tangles that web so intricately as a spider creates this web for his prey to fly right into it. So he can roll the prey up and suck the life out of that prey until death is his destiny. The loud majority of the world has bought will reveal the reality that who they have accepted truly. They will mock you. They will curse you. They will say all kinds of evil against you. If they can't lock you up, guess what? They'll try to kill you. Why? They reject the truth. They believe a lie. They choose their path. And they will live forever one day in their choice. It breaks my heart, but the reality is what it is. Many will not accept the truth. They will not accept this gospel that I'm preaching that's straight from God's word. The one preaching of holiness. And no one without God will see, no one without holiness, nobody without holiness, that sanctification will see God. You don't hear too much about sanctification. You hear about the justification and the glorification, but the middle part of that sanctification, that is the part being more like Jesus daily, dying daily. You don't hear that. They bypass that. All that middle part is the one we need to emphasize if we're going to truly have a revival that is back to God's word. But I don't see that right now. I don't see that happen. Why? Because sanctification is a dirty word in churches here in America. It means we're supposed to walk different. We're supposed to be separate. Yes, we love this world, but we love the world, but we do not let the world define us. We don't let the world rub off on us. We love this world with the gospel of truth. Love the world with the gospel of the cross. And the sin that God is not okay with. He calls us to confess and repent, right? Seek Him every day where our hearts open, opening our hearts to Him every day and say, here I am flawed, I have flesh. God, help me crucify this flesh. I don't care how painful it is. I give my life to You. Our life should be a life with this heartbeat. A life of prayer. We cannot go a day without opening our hearts to Him and saying, here I am. Give me strength, God, to endure. Lord, break me when I do not obey Your direction. Lord, teach me to walk in Your commandments. Lord, guide me to those that need to hear the gospel from my workplace, my school and family, or wherever You put me. I know today could be my last. God, help me not drop the ball because You know me. You know I am weak. I can't do this without You. I can't even get out of bed in the morning without Your help. Lord, help me die daily and walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. If you can say this and with this drive every morning, every day, don't stop, press on. You confidently can say, I am saved. And you say, this is how I am saved. By the mercy and grace of God. The cross and the resurrection. The blood that was spilt for a filthy sinner like me. The Holy Spirit comes in my life, changes me, gives me the strive to press on, to walk more in the Spirit, to let my light shine to the very end until my ticket is gone, my ticket is punched, and I am in heaven with my Father. And when we lean like this and we have this drive, guess what? The Holy Spirit will give us strength and will give us what to say to those around us. Closing this out. Yeah, we just went over an hour, but it's all right. My friend, I pray that you're getting this. I'm praying that you're doing that deep reflection in your heart because I do not know all that will be listening to this sermon. All I can do is give you guys words straight and direct. The style of preaching that's becoming out of date. Many do not want to hear this. But I pray that you open your ears to God's word and heed this message. If you love truth, because this is not Jonathan Ritter's truth, this is gospel truth. You love gospel truth, you truly love Jesus Christ. You take this message with message 1 and 2, this is the third one. You take John 3:16-21, I encourage you to memorize it. Whatever version you want, the KJV, the NIV, the NLT, memorize it. This is a starting point there. You can communicate the gospel to somebody. But don't stop at John 3:16, which is a distortion. This John 3:16 has been distorted so much, it's not even funny. And there will be a part 4. That might be the last part. But you take all these messages and you combine them. And you will get to the heart of, am I saved? How can I be saved? And how to communicate this message. I understand majority of people professing Jesus Christ, they have a different version of who Jesus Christ is. Their version of Jesus Christ is the version that He's okay with my sin. My practicing lifestyle of sin. We don't have to worry about being different. We can live any way we want. I promise you, that ain't the gospel. If you look through the gospel, you read through Matthew, through John, Jesus never said to those, okay, keep on sinning some more. No, you will hear him countless say, sin no more. And we expound on sin quite a few times through the years. I've preached specific topics on sin, how to define sin, looking at iniquity and transgression. And I don't know where they're at. They're somewhere probably over 500 sermons on this website now. Maybe 500. But he's not okay with your sin. No, he's not okay with people like Denzel Washington, who reads a script that say, hey, I like this. I'm going to kill somebody and then I'm going to sleep with his wife. I read it. I acknowledge it. And I'm going to do it. And there ain't no conviction. Why? Because they keep doing it. And I don't think they ever came out saying that they repented of it. Because they don't think they're doing anything wrong. Why? Because they got a different version. Guess what? The world grabs onto it. Majority of those professing Jesus Christ, guess what? They grab onto it. People like Chris Pratt, who professes to know Jesus Christ, but he stars in movies where he's having sex with women. And in violent movies, he's cussing God and he's saying everything else. And they're endorsing, oh, he's a Christian. They have a version of Christianity, this progressive Christianity. I want to tell you, you cling by them. You believe what they believe. You are not saved. If you die tonight, you're going to hell because you want to be okay with your sin. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Oh, Jonathan, I don't want to hear that. I am going to not listen to you. I want to tell you, you don't have to listen to me. In the end, you're not hurting me. You're not. When I die, I won't be sitting in your place. God has given me a calling to preach. Preach the truth. I won't be called on your behalf to stand in your place. You will be called. He will look at you and he will pronounce the judgment. At that point in time, it's over with. You won't be able to repent. You won't be, because he knows your heart. You're not going to repent now. You're not going to turn away now. And you keep holding off and off to the very end, and you're looking at God. You're just doing it now that you're with God, and you know what's about to happen. Oh, maybe this crazy preacher, Jonathan Ritter, is echoing your ear as God sent me to warn you of the wrath to come. He was right about this. Uh-oh. Now everlasting torment. Oh, I repent now. Forgive me. No, God sees your heart. He knows at that point in time there is nothing that you would not repent regardless. Now you know what's coming your way. Everlasting torment, hell, everlasting fire, burning forever, flames, devils ripping your flesh, your bones, the flesh melting off your bones, everlasting torment. We can't even imagine how bad hell's going to be. But man, it's worse than anything you can imagine. Any words I'm saying, it's going to be worse because everlasting torment don't sound very appealing. Oh, but I want my heaven now. I want to live my sin now. I don't want to repent now. I want to cling to this perversion of the gospel now. I want to sleep with whoever I want to. I don't want to be married. I want to keep watching the field. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to keep lying. I want to keep stealing, cussing, being filthy. I want my sinful lifestyle now. That's why the progressive Christianity is so appealing. It tells you you can do all of that and still get heaven. Because they say it doesn't mean it's true. Be like that wise man. That wise person. Look at God's word. I encourage you to read through Matthew all the way to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read through that. Study it on your own. Don't take my word for it. Tell me how God would be okay with your sin. How he would be okay with people like Denzel, Chris Pratt, these other actors and actresses. People like Joel Osteen that don't believe in when they preaching and teaching on salvation. They don't believe talking about repentance and hell, sanctification, holiness, which are all part of a salvation message. You got to preach all of it. If you're truly His, you will embrace truth. The truth that you need a Savior. The truth of the cross. You recognize your sin, you come to Him. When you give your life truly to Him, you recognize, of course, the cross. You recognize the grave, the resurrection. You recognize the grace and mercy that's poured out. Salvation is a free gift. Right? We can't earn it. We recognize the horrible death. And it does something to me. Even when I'm talking about it, it does something to me. And then you recognize, man, you did that for me. You did that, God? Your love is beyond I can imagine. For somebody like me. Right? And when you see that, because the cross is, the gospel is about Jesus. It's a transformation experience. And because that transformation changes your heart, you become new. There's this passion, this fire burning your loins. And you can't but have that passion to keep pressing on. Even when things get bad, you keep pressing on. Those that persevere to the end will be saved. We keep pressing on. Our roots get firmly in the ground and we keep on pressing on. We let the water, that living water, fill that thirst. And we keep pressing on. We keep pressing on. We keep abiding in Christ. Oh, we can't stop. We keep pressing. And then you just look at Paul. That's what all the things that he went through. That's why he said, I can bear the mark. He kept pressing on. Why? Because he knew what was done for him and he didn't deserve it. And he said, I'm going to give you all I got, God, because I know this is a privilege, this is an honor to stand before you. All the pain, all the suffering that it only compare to what's waiting for me when I die. But I'm going to keep pressing on because there's people out there that needs to hear the word of God. I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep reaching into the life. See, our life is no longer ours. We recognize our life is no longer ours. Right? We recognize our purpose, our dreams. It doesn't matter unless they match up with Jesus. Our will does not matter. The day that we wake up in the morning, yes, we have to go to work and we have to make a living. But that's secondary compared to reaching into somebody's life and telling about Jesus Christ. Oh, we need a revival, a true one. Maybe it won't be till the Antichrist reveals himself and persecution hits America. Like true persecution. Maybe then we'll have a true revival. Because then it will cost people truly something. Right now, it don't cost them nothing in America. But it's coming. And we are truly His. We are preparing ourselves. Preparing our mind. We recognize we are saved. We know how to be saved. We can communicate that with people around us. How to be saved. What it means to be saved. We all deserve wrath, right? We are all sin guilty. Our Lord Jesus Christ is Savior of this world. This life will get hard. We'll have pain and suffering. The cross has the final authority. The cross tells us we couldn't do it on our own. That's why God sent His only Son for everlasting life. The empty grave tells us this physical death is not the end. Those that are truly His, truly believe, truly pressing into it, we will have everlasting life, everlasting heaven. Those that deny the truth of the gospel, reject scripture, pervert the gospel, they will have everlasting damnation. And I pray, my prayer to you in this series, for you to rattle you and to shake you, to go back to God's word and look and ponder the scripture. Know for sure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just finish this out, Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's somebody that comes across this, if they made it through this whole hour sermon, God, they let it soak. They let it soak in. Holy Spirit, move in their life right now. Holy Spirit, convict them, rattle them, shake them. If the devil has a grip on their life right now, shatter it. If the enemy has chains wrapped around their neck, break them. God, send them to your God. Let them open God's word and start reading it. And if I truly believe the word of God is enough, they start reading John 3:16-21 and just keep on reading. The Holy Spirit will pour on them. God, I know if they truly seeking this new life, they don't want the old anymore. They understand there's a cost and they understand that it's going to be painful and a lot of suffering to follow you in the end. And they're willing to pay it. Whoever cost it may be, they don't care. Even death. Physical death, they will continue it. God, I pray right now over those that may be experiencing pain in their life. The isolation, the depression, the anxiety. God, we lift them up right now. The financial burden that's over them. God, we lift them up. God, we pray in their time of need that you will guide and direct. Lord, we pray that they lean on the Holy Spirit. Or if they're not yours, they through this series, they become yours. And then they just grab on to the hope and the peace that this world can't understand during these storms that can rattle us. God, I pray once again, you guide and you direct us as you see fit. Always seeking to walk in the Spirit and less in the flesh, being a light to this perverse darkness that surrounds us. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alright, I love you guys, and this was almost an hour and 30 minutes, so I went off pretty good on that. If you do have any questions, like always, you can send me an email through this website, If you're on my Facebook, you can message me on Facebook. Even if you're not part of my Facebook group, you can send me a private message. I'm not on Twitter or Instagram much. If some of you guys have my private phone number, so you can message me or call me that way. If you have any questions, the best ways, if you do send me an email through this website, make sure in the subject heading you put Crucify Christ Ministries. Got a question. So if it does go into spam or junk mail or whatever you want to call it, check my junk mail once a month. I'll be able to identify it quickly and be able to respond. If you PM me, which is probably the fastest way on Facebook, with a question regarding the sermon or sermons, the sermon series or other sermons that I've placed on here, a few Bible studies too, and some devotionals I put on here. Reach out to me if you need to. I love you. I love you guys. I don't know who listens to this, or I know a few people that listen to it, but you know I love you. And even though I may not know you, I love you. I love your soul. These preaching, this true heart of salvation, because I know what the version of the world is projecting out there, and I know this don't come out very loving, and that's one of the parts that really breaks my heart, because I do love a lot, love your soul, but I know it don't come out very loving, and that's just the time we're living in. It views as hateful, but and because last probably 50-100 years, America's been conditioned with a false gospel, pretty much a distortion of salvation by the mainstream big heads. I would call them big heads, people like Billy Graham and probably big heads. Billy Graham really distorted the gospel, and people don't like to hear that, but that's all right. And I'm drawing a blank right now. Others out there that done it, and of course Joel Osteen, which he's probably been preaching maybe 20-30 years now. I don't know, but but I know it can come out, you know, very loving. But I love you, and I pray that if you have any questions, please email me, PM me, Facebook me. If you have my private number, text me. Y'all have a good rest of your day, night if you're listening to this, weekend, if it's a weekday. Pray that's going good. Love y'all. Y'all have a good one. Bye.